Movie news.
Yes!
Rumors and rumbling.
That's awesome!
Let the filibustering begin.
It's movie news, rumors, rumblings, roundup time. Here I'm Mad About Movies for this week. Time to round them up and catch up on all the movie news headlines that we've been talking about on Discord and Instagram and things like that over the past couple weeks, and you know, bring it all to the air and get it out there for the official main feed, MamFam. So welcome in, Kent here with Richard and Brian here to talk about a couple of items of note. And guys, I think we should start out with a topic that's become maybe the topic of movie news, rumors, rumblings. And that is
it a rumbling? I will only chime in on rumblings contractually.
There will be rumblings. There will be rumblings.
All right.
For sure. So you can chime. Yeah. It is the streaming wars, guys. The streaming wars, the war of our time, I think. You know, probably the most significant war of our time.
Yeah. Cold War? Meh.
Yeah.
World War II?
Yeah.
Not so great.
Yeah, exactly.
Streaming wars.
Iraqi freedom? Meh. Streaming wars, though. That Quibi war. Woo.
Ooh,
all right.
Man.
Well, big news coming down, I guess, about a week ago or so.
Was the Quibi. Like an old Ken Burns documentary about the streaming words. And then Quibi died.
We should make this doc, I think.
I think it'd be a good documentary now episode.
Yes.
Let's get on that. Big news in the streaming wars, and this is something we had talked about, I think, a year ago or so, around the time the pandemic hit, because MGM was shopping around No Time to Die, James Bond, at the time. It was supposed to come out in 2020, and they're like, oh, all these other movies are coming out on streaming services. Well, we could do that with this one, so let's shop it around for $500 million. And so they basically gave every streaming service an opportunity to purchase the rights to No Time to Die for $500 million. Didn't happen. But at that same time, some of these studios started talking to MGM themselves and said, hey, what about the entire thing, the whole library? We know you guys have been struggling for basically ever, you know, to make movies.
Yeah.
It's amazing that they're still around, to be quite honest with you. But, you know, I don't want to go into the business side of the things, but let's just say they've been kept afloat from numerous aspects along the line. And so it just made sense for them to kind of off their movie brand and kind of move into, I don't know, the streaming side and let somebody else take over that knows what they're doing. So what we had said, guys, was, you know, Apple needs to jump on this. And we'll talk about here in a second some of the numbers and how far apart some of these streaming services are. But at the time, it's like it makes so much sense for Apple to jump on this, to have, you know, James Bond. The Apple seems to be the dad movie central is what they kind of going for when they're purchasing some of these movies. And so certainly having RoboCop and Raging Bull and James Bond and Rocky and all these things and, you know, Creed and all that would certainly help that, I don't know, place in the market be secured even more. Instead, though, Amazon, Jeff Bezos swoops in and gets MGM for $8.4 billion. And so Amazon Prime already, you know, pretty secure in their spot as in second place in the streaming wars, is now firmly in second place with the acquisition of MGM and all the movies that they're going to be adding to that.
No, Roku does have the Quibi library.
Yeah, they did.
It's just native on your device.
Yeah, I will say that. Good point, Richard. These aren't current numbers, so we don't know the effect that the Roku channel Quibi content acquisition will have. Mm-hmm.
If they go Crackle Plus, which I've heard some rumblings of that, we got a whole new paradigm.
It's over. Yeah. We'll talk about some of that here in a second. I'm excited too. But yeah, guys, that's the news. Amazon swooped in, bought this, $8.4 billion, and you know they have money. But you know who also has money? Apple. And you know who needs a place, more market share in this space? Apple. And so that's why it just made no sense to me why all they had to do was spend some money to just get in and have this entire library of stuff when they need content. I mean, they just don't have... They just don't have those classic movies that you go to find on a Netflix or on an Amazon. So,
well, I think
no sense.
You know, it makes sense in this way. I think, you know, the Apple piece the last few years of they've gotten a lot more into just really leaning into, they've kind of corrected into just going back into hardware and software to support said hardware. They circled being a content player for a while with Apple TV, but I think that's not going to go anywhere. But I do think that will be a very boutique part of their business. I don't think they're going to make really huge leverage investment in that. I don't think they really care that they are like in fourth place now in the streaming category. I mean, I'm sure they'd like to not be, but it hasn't hurt their brand overall, which is the main thing it's there for, is to kind of support you know, the luxury feel of Apple devices on some level. So I think, yes, 3 years ago, I think they make a much harder bid for this. They kind of remind me of, for any of you sports fans out there, like, you know, the basketball team with like, they have this war chest of cash. They have so much cash. And they've had it now for like 8 or 9 years. We've talked about this before with them potentially buying like a cell carrier, forcing everyone to T-Mobile, for example, buying Starbucks. They could just buy Starbucks with cash. Wouldn't even take Apple stock. You know, huge companies they could acquire, and they don't. And they kind of remind me of a basketball team with like cap room or a big trade exemption. And every kind of offseason, we think, okay, Apple's going to make this play. And they end up just laying in the cut and saving more cash. And we assume at some point they're going to make a big move on something. I don't think creative content is going to be it, because I think it was a lesson we saw coming on this show. Not that we're geniuses. I think a lot of people did. But I will give them credit. They made the mistake of investing in like top line talent, you know, Jennifer Aniston and things like that, and not investing in the infrastructure of a studio. And they could maybe just acquire MGM, but that's not really a very successful, other than Bond, studio. Now the back catalog is, but the studio going forward isn't. And I think they learned their lesson pretty quickly that that's where the investment should go. And if they're going to invest in content, I think it will be a much more production heavy studio, so that they could just bring that under their umbrella and not have to staff it. But anyway, I don't know if any of that's true, but that's just my theory as to why they didn't make a more aggressive pull for this. Cause you're right, Ken. I think they definitely do 3 years ago, but I think they've kind of pulled back a little bit on all that.
Yeah. It's like, I've never known Apple to half-ass anything though. That's what's so confusing about it, you know?
Yeah, when they do something, they do it right. They throw a lot of cash at it. But they do pass on, like, a lot of things. They
like,
pass
we,
on.
We got to go. I don't know. Steve Jobs always felt like, you know, with certain things, it's like, if we're going to do this, we're going to do, you know, we're not going to make a watch just to make a watch. If we do it, we're going to make the best watch, you know? So that's why it's so confusing. It's like, if they're going to dip their toe into the streaming wars, they got to bring something, some kind of cash. They have nothing. Like, no one even knows what Apple TV is, you know? Yeah. And that's an embarrassment.
Mythic Quest.
Why they should be going into their meetings like, why is Peacock have more freaking subscribers than we do?
But they have the back catalog of content.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't think NBC Universal would make a very good tablet either. I mean, it's a completely different vertical than what they've
ever played. But NBC is not trying to make a tablet.
Absolutely. But, you know, they could potentially make something at some point that would be kind of a piece of crap for you to watch Peacock on, right? They would have done that at the beginning stages of streaming. People have learned that lesson and kind of stay in their silo. I'm not defending Apple's decision on this, but it definitely seems like they want to stay really in their silo, maybe have a few things to support their brand. I think, you know, some of these shows on here, on Apple TV, I think, you know, they're going to grow it. You know, what it kind of reminds me of, Kent, and wouldn't be a bad way to go, because it's not like they care if they lose money for a few years, is, you know, when Amazon first started getting into movies, and they had like Manchester by the Sea, and they had these sort of quiet, small, critically acclaimed things, and sort of built a movie studio themselves, both through acquisition at festivals, but also all the way through production. And kind of slowly dipped in that way. And now it's like very, you know, Amazon Studios is pretty well respected. That may be the move Apple tries to go for, is like a very boutique luxury piece, that is going to slowly build subs because they're going to be up for Emmys every year. That did not work out in the first year because all those shows were pretty bad. But they are getting better. Their shows are getting, you know, on the whole, a lot better reviewed. But no one's seen them. But
you got to bring people in somehow. And they market the hell out of these shows. You know, I mean,
sure.
You watch the Super Bowl or the NBA Finals, and it's everywhere. These Apple TV originals. It's like, I would think I would think No Time to Die premiering on Apple TV or whatever, or you know, that being it being mm-hmm. on there, or having all the Bond movies on there beforehand. I would mm-hmm. think, I mean, looking at the chart here, they have 30 million subscribers.
Yep.
I would think that would bring in 10 million subscribers. Like,
yeah. Yeah. But I don't know if that would be annually or just for that month or
yeah,
whatever.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's like, you got to give yeah. some people a reason to come.
And then maybe stay for the quality. Yeah.
And then I say, there's some stuff on here, you know? I mean, yeah. that, if anything, it's just like keeping your name in the conversation. It's like, sure. who cares if they really give a crap about Legally Blonde, you know? But, mm-hmm. but it's showing Netflix and showing Amazon and showing HBO/AT&T, we're serious about this too. And we're in this game, you know? And, mm-hmm. and, you know, what's going to take that to happen is what you're right, Richard, is they're going to have to make an original show that just completely sweeps the Emmys and gets everybody's like, holy crap, what is this? You know, and that might not happen for 5 years, but, yeah, I just don't know, why they would keep beating down this door if they're not willing to make the investment that the other studios are willing to. I mean, it's a war out there. It's called the streaming wars for a reason, you know, mm-hmm. It's tough, and right now they're pulling up the end. They have three million more people than YouTube Originals does. That's yep. it.
And they've got it, but I mean, they are worth, you know, almost 25% more in market cap than yeah. Amazon. So this yeah. is, and you know, they're number one market cap company in the world at 2.1 trillion. So when you put all their shares outstanding, so like, you know, this is a big deal to us because it's a movie podcast, and we should talk about it. We should talk about how they just got their butt kicked on their streaming platform and yada, yada, yada. But they're thinking a lot more macro.
Oh,
than
they're
that.
Fine as a
yeah,
company.
I mean, it's just, and so this is just a little widget in their machine that is, yeah, when you're doing movie stuff, it's or entertainment or content reviews, it's maybe a little embarrassing, but I don't think they're losing sleep over it right now, which is crazy because yeah. it's like an $8 trillion mm-hmm. acquisition of a major studio and Apple's like, all right, good luck, Amazon. It's pretty right. crazy.
But I mean, it's what makes, you know, they have so much cash that it felt like it would have been such an easy, just like,
yeah.
Hey man, you heard that they're selling it for $8 billion? Yeah, I heard. You want me to write a check? Yeah, cool. All right, sweet.
Yeah.
And that could have been it. And, all they would have done was just added the content to their app, you know, and that would have been, they've mm-hmm. acquired companies and they acquire Beats, you know, they acquire mm-hmm. companies all the time that they think could be relevant to add to what they're already doing. And
sure.
It's not every day that a studio becomes available for sale. You know, Disney swooped up Fox so fast, you know, for yeah. a lot of money, you know, and these studios are crumbling. And right now, under the content side of things, you look on Wikipedia, under the breakdown of some of these streaming services, and you go, you know, let's transition to our update on what the numbers are for most of these. You go to HBO Max and you've got the content side of things, you know, HBO, they got Max Originals, DC Universe, Warner Brothers, New Line Cinema, Turner Entertainment, CNN, Sesame Street, Looney Tunes, Comedy Central, Studio Ghibli, TBS, TNT, Cartoon Network, Boomerang. Like this, that's under the content umbrella of AT&T. And then you go down to Apple and it's content umbrella, Apple TV Originals.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's the only thing on there.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, they're just not interested in that space so right now. And so they've got in January, Brian, I know you haven't said, oh, I'll let you get in here. But, you know, as of January, they had almost $200 billion in cash on hand. So that means that, you know, they could buy the stuff in cash. But I've been saying this for 5 years. I've been wrong every year. They're up to something with that. They're going to buy. There's a major acquisition, you know, coming at some point. I just would be surprised if it's in the content space. I don't think they care that much about it. Go ahead, Brian. Sorry.
No, I'm 100% with you. This, because we've been saying this forever. It just, there have been so many opportunities where you would think this is the time. All right, now Apple's going to jump in on this. And I think it's kind of at the point now where we just kind of have to say they got off to a slow start on it. They were kind of behind, a little bit behind the eight ball, which is maybe the mm-hmm. most surprising out of all of this. They weren't at the forefront of all this when Amazon was.
Well, they announced it, and then they didn't launch for like a year or two years.
But even that was way behind when some of these the other services, you know. You're right, they did announce.
Remember when they brought Spielberg and Oprah on stage and they had this huge thing, and then it was like 2 years later they actually put out stuff.
They just didn't do anything with it. So that to me is still the most surprising thing. But at this point, I think we just have to say they don't want to do this. I mean, Apple's a very smart company, so whatever their people are telling them, they're seeing that either the return on investment is lower than what it could be just not going into content and doing something else instead, or that it's too risky compared to some of the other things that they're able to get in on.
Or
they're using Apple Plus as just a bonus. I mean, I haven't paid for Apple Plus yet. I got it free when I got a new phone last year or whatever. I kind of expect at some point that's what it's going to be for everyone. It's just, oh, you have Apple, cool. One of the perks of Apple of having an iPhone is you get access to Apple Plus, and no one is paying $5 a month on top of their whatever.
That's amazing that's kind of the case, and they only have 30 million
right
subs.
People don't just activate it. Yeah, I mean, I would imagine most of that is
a billion devices out there. Right. Literally.
Totally. Crazy. I mean, that's a great point. That 30 million, because I was like, I'm surprised it's that much, but that's totally what it is. I bet 28 million of those don't even know they have it.
Yeah.
Or they activated it for a week.
I don't think I've ever noticed it on my phone.
Yeah. But I mean, put it to you this way, Kent. Netflix, their market cap, so the value of all their shares, is $218 billion. So Apple has almost that in just cash. So, meaning there could be a much larger strategic play. I mean, AT&T is right there at 207. These are huge companies. Not saying they're going to acquire either of these, but I'm saying what they could do with cash plus shares plus leverage whenever they want, you know.
Oh, yeah, I know.
They could take on, I mean, they could just buy Netflix.
Buy Netflix
at some
point. Yeah, I mean, they could
and
do that.
And so then it looks a lot more strategic than spending $8 billion. But then honestly, the library of MGM for $8 billion is kind of a bargain. But it's also not generating $15 a month from every person on planet. So, I mean, I'm just putting these numbers in perspective. Like, they have the market cap of Nike in cash.
They spent so much for that Tom Hanks movie, I felt like, you know?
Yeah.
Like, to me, it felt like they're ready to get real content that people want to watch onto their platform. And I'm kind of done talking about them, but
It's kind of interesting. I mean, obviously, they didn't see COVID coming, and this cash is allocated, however, and it would have been a hard thing to adjust. But yeah, I mean, if you could go back 18 months and they could see COVID coming, they could have bought every movie that was going to come to theaters and put on Apple TV, and it wouldn't even cost them a thing. And then all of a sudden, you would have had 100 million Apple TV subscribers.
Right.
But I mean,
hindsight's
2020.
Yeah. So,
but I mean, it's nuts
to look at the wide picture here. There's a couple of companies here that are over the 100 million subscriber mark, and they are Netflix with 210 million subscribers worldwide. Behind them is Amazon, 175 million worldwide.
A lot of those are Prime people, though, too, right?
Yeah, I'm thinking Amazon Originals, Amazon Studios,
I think the lead is bigger, though. My point is, I think the lead Netflix has is bigger than that because, like, you know, so many people have Amazon Prime for the shipping, and they don't watch Amazon Video, Prime Video.
I don't know how they count.
I think they just count it by that. Prime members, I think.
Or people that have actively watched content. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. It doesn't say here. But that puts them around, you know, 40 million behind, let's say conservatively, behind Netflix. And I guess this was pre-MGM, so we'll see the effect over the next year, you know, how the MGM movies hitting that service and James Bond and all that, what that does to Amazon. I will say that the Amazon acquisition for No Time to Die, I think it's in the contract that it's going to premiere in theaters, and it cannot premiere on Amazon, so don't look for that to be like a thing. I think it's going to come out there eventually, you know, like when it comes out on digital, but it will not premiere there. So Amazon there with 175, and then we've got a couple of international, Tencent and Baidu that are mainly Asian services. And then right below that at 100 million is Disney. You've got Disney already at over 100 million subscribers there. And that includes all their Star and Disney Plus, Hulu, all that kind of thing. That's pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. less than 2 years into into Disney Plus. You know, that's not bad.
Yeah, you think they probably plateau, Brian, at around 100 million when it's all said and done? That's kind of where they stand, or you think they'll just keep adding people over time? Or is like Disney Plus, are they going to be, you know, servicing Disney fans and that'll be a thing? Or is there a ceiling on where this can go?
I don't know. I mean, all the Star Wars and Marvel movies, mm-hmm. I think are all there now or close to it. Mm-hmm. That would be a real indicator if all the Marvel, because I know for a long time they still had Netflix deals and Stars was still mm-hmm. carrying some of the Marvel movies and things like that. So
FX
if we're at the
stuff
point
too
now,
before the acquisition.
Yeah. If we're at the point now where all of those movies are on Disney Plus and we've got these extra shows. And then I guess the next step from that is they really did not push, and part of this was COVID, but they didn't really push out big content for like a year. It's like a Mandalorian was the only thing that was original that was like a big name draw. They had lots of other smaller programs and whatnot, but the bulk of Disney Plus for a solid year was we have the Mandalorian and we have all these shows that you love, shows and movies that you loved as a kid and or that your kid is interested in, and then pretty much nothing else. Like we're not pumping out tons of original content that's going to draw eyes. It's stuff that you're like, hey, what's this shop class thing? Oh, that's kind of cool. Coop enjoyed watching that. You know, little things like that are cool, but they're not Marvel. They're not Star Wars. They're not some of these big property type things. And then obviously they've pushed that big over the last year, from Mandalorian season 2 to all the Marvel shows that I think have been pretty successful. I think Loki may be their most maybe the one that they're hanging the most stock on, mm-hmm. as far as like this may bring people in. I think WandaVision was.
I thought Falcon and Winter Soldier would have been pretty.
Maybe a little bit. Falcon and the Winter Soldier was so odd in that show was transitioning the MCU a lot, and also was short. Like I was surprised how short that one was compared to WandaVision, and didn't quite generate the buzz that I thought it was going to. WandaVision was the one that I think they probably, I mean, I don't know, I'm not in these meetings, but I would think that they were probably pretty surprised by how much people loved that and how big of a deal it became.
As much as Falcon and Winter Soldier, so I was thinking about this the other day, as much as Falcon and Winter Soldier, you know, advanced the overall MCU, like you said, mm-hmm. they should have put that one out first.
Yeah.
Because I think people lost a little momentum, because it is, you know, even though it's short, you just watched, you know, 8 hours of WandaVision or whatever.
For sure.
And you kind of push off that one, and then it kind of falls down your queue, and you know, maybe it, and not to say it wasn't successful, but at least and I might be on some stupid like Twitter movie nerd bubble in terms of this, mm-hmm. but it seemed like WandaVision, just like meme wise, was a lot more prevalent
than
Falcon Winter Soldier. But maybe I'm totally wrong, and there was like 5x the views on the other one, and just people that aren't memeing all the time were watching it, but yeah, I don't know. But yeah, I had the same feeling. It seemed like WandaVision was more successful than I anticipated, mm-hmm. and Falcon was less. And it seems like those release dates maybe could have been switched.
Yeah, that could have helped. I also think too they're
still right after
out,
too.
Yeah, totally. They're still figuring out the premiere access thing, and I don't know how that plays into those numbers. Can't like, I mean, if they have 100 million subscribers, how many put up an extra $30 to rent? Raya or Mulan or mm-hmm. I guess Black Widow is the next one Cruella, sorry. I don't know how much all that plays into it. That's something that I think they
released the numbers on
kind of experimenting with
on Raya, on how many people watch that at home, mm-hmm. and they said it was like as many as would have seen it in the theater, like or something.
So I mean, that was a huge pull for them too. I would imagine. So to answer your question, I mean I don't think that they're done growing. I don't think it's gonna cap out at 100 million, but that might be the ballpark, right? Like it maybe it's 120 million or something mm-hmm. like that. I don't know that it's 200 or 300 million. But
yeah, and it should be noted as well, though.
It's all supportive of everything else that they do. That's the genius or evil, if you want to go whatever route you want to take it. That's the whole Disney thing, is that like there's just so much. This is just a tiny part of the infrastructure, and so they don't really necessarily care that it's 300 million or 100 million, because this all plays into everything else that we're doing.
Yeah, it should be noted as well that Disney Plus is only available in North America, South America, Northern and Western Europe, Asia Pacific, and parts of the Arabian Peninsula. So it's not worldwide yet. So,
yeah.
You know, eventually they get a worldwide distribution. Maybe that bumps up to 150. Because sure. It's really tough for them to get it rolled out and get everything worked out and reliable and all that. So look for Disney Plus to maybe grow. But that's interesting to me that it's already crossed $100 million in such a short time. And then kind of carrying up the end here, you've got HBO Max with $85 million, which is an impressive number for HBO. And like I said, I told you all the stuff they're bringing to the table. So they've got a lot of content under that. And then you've got Peacock with 40, Hulu itself with $41 million, Paramount
Pretty
Plus.
Impressive for Peacock. I mean, granted, they have the free tier, though, so a lot of that might not be...
Peacock Originals, got NBC, Sci-Fi, The Office, WWE Network on there as well.
Soccer, Premier League.
Yes, Premier League is big. I really enjoy the live function on there because, like, when breaking news happens, I'll just go on there and I know there's going to be live free live news, you know, rather than having to sign into a CNN app or whatever it is, you know, to get some breaking news. So that's... I found myself going to Peacock just for... some live coverage of some events and things. And that's been a great app. I think they've done really, really well with that. Speaking of, Paramount Plus, $36 million, and that's ahead of Apple. So you've got,
that's probably my favorite one.
Yeah.
By the way, the one that's really nice Paramount Plus. Granted, they also have a lot of soccer, but I love the interface. There's a lot of cool content on there. And the price point's great. That and Peacock, they're both kind of next tier down where it's like reasonable. I love, I kind of got on there for Brian and I were watching like Champions League stuff. And then I found myself watching all kinds of stuff on Paramount Plus. I love that app.
Yeah. I think I downloaded it for the Oscars or something or to watch, some awards. Maybe it was the Golden Globes that were on,
I think those were on Peacock. I think
something was on CBS.
Grammys were on.
Grammys was the Grammys. Yeah. Some award show that we... that I got the free trial for and really enjoyed.
The CMTs, the app. Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, you CMT. So, and you're always People's Choice.
Or, no, the Teen Choice Awards where they give the surfboards.
Yeah, Rich is not allowed to watch that one.
Yeah. he's been banned. And then you've got, these small companies, less than 10 million, Curiosity Stream, Discovery Plus, ESPN Plus. And
answer me this. Maybe you guys don't know. Did Discovery buy HBO properties or did HBO buy Discovery?
Warner Brothers bought Discovery.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's Warner Discovery now. They merged. And
then they simultaneously spun that off, though, with Discovery's leadership so that AT&T now is kind of out of the AT&T execs are out of the content part.
Okay. Did you see the logo, by the way?
Yeah.
John Oliver said it looked like... it looks like the Simpsons logo before they landed on the right font. It was great. It's just so cheap, like fake. Yeah. But yeah, so Discovery is a big company. I mean, you know, publicly traded company and them to merge with them. I mean, I just remember when Netflix started, what brought me to Netflix was the library of content that they had, you know? And I think what kept me there over time was their original programming. You know, I just remember I got Netflix because they had The Office and they had Friends and they had Doctor Who and they had all these shows that I wanted to go back and watch. And so I think the key is just getting people in the door. And then if you can keep them there, great. You know, so that's really been the struggle for all these companies. And it looks like Netflix ain't going anywhere anytime soon. They've got The Knives Out. They've got a bunch of stuff coming out exclusively. And they found a really good niche, guys, too. They found a niche with these documentary and true crime shows, and they're pumping those out like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a great niche to hit, the true crime shows that people kind of talk about over the weekends and Tiger King and crazy stuff like that.
And the obvious advantage of just being first and being like front of everyone's home screen. Yeah,
brand recognition. And
It's like the first thing everyone clicks probably. Yep. So they scroll that first just because that's what they did in 2015, and that's just... an advantage forever. It's not, well, maybe not forever, but for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, a couple more things I want to touch on before we get out of here for movie news is that Knives Out 2 casting, guys. They're just keeping
on.
Are
we in it yet?
Finally?
Have we made it?
I know, right? They're just keeping on adding, adding people to this con.
7 hours?
to this movie. The latest to be added that we haven't talked about is, I believe, Edward Norton. Did we talk about him?
I think so, but there's been a lot of people, so, yeah. You know, it's hard to keep track of.
So we've added Edward Norton to the cast. We've added Leslie Odom Jr. to the cast, coming off an Oscar nomination. And we have also added Bron O'Brien's favorites, Kate Hudson, from Almost Famous.
All right. I don't hate it.
It's all happening, Brian.
It's all happening. It's an athleisure-based mystery this time.
Yeah. It's about you know, drummers in mid 2000s rock bands and how they
don't you say it don't you say it out loud, Ken. I can't deal with the
algorithm again.
No, I wasn't referring to him. I was referring to the Strokes. I think she dated a guy from the Strokes. Or was that Drew Barrymore? I don't know.
That was the Strokes guy did okay, but she also dated the guy from what's that band?
That makes sense.
It'll come to me later.
Well, Kate Hudson is added. So now the full cast of announced people is returning in the role of Benoit Blanc. Again, I wish this would have been just MacGruber as Benoit Blanc, but it's Daniel Craig playing Benoit Blanc. And then we've got Dave Bautista, the animal Bautista. Also, Catherine Hahn, Edward Norton, Kate Hudson, Leslie Odom Jr., and Janelle Monáe. So quite a stacked cast for Netflix's.
I was thinking of Liv Tyler, and it's Space Hog was the band I was thinking of.
Oh, Space Hog, man. That's one
Space Hog, Resident Alien, I believe the album. Great record.
Yeah. Fire up my vinyl copy.
A little 90s throwback for you there. Check that one out, kids. Anyway. Yeah, that's big news, and surely, you know, any day now, yeah, we're going to get the call that Knives Out 2 is on the table for us if we would like to accept. I just imagine the amount of calls that Rian Johnson's getting, like, from agents.
Yeah.
To get in this.
Starting to get offended if you're not a day. Cast, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Guys, I want to say thanks to our sponsor for this episode of Mad About Movies, our friends at Keeps.com. We know as guys, so much of our identity is wrapped up in our hair. You know, you want to have a good hair day. You want to look good going to the office. You want to look good for the wife. You want to look good for that date that you've got planned. But it's hard to if you, you go in the shower and every time you come out of the shower, you got less and less hair. Everybody's losing their hair. Nobody's gaining more hair over time. But that's where Keeps comes in, and they can help you keep the hair that you already have. Yeah, your hair doesn't have to fall out. You can just keep the hair that you already have. Keeps offers the only generic versions of the only two FDA-approved hair loss products out there. And you've tried these products before, but never for this price. Find out why Keeps has more 5-star reviews than any of its competitors, and over 100,000 men trust Keeps for their hair loss prevention. Keeps treatments start at just $10 a month. For a limited time, you can get your first month for free. So, we've got a special offer for our listeners. Guys, check this out. Keeps.com/mad. Receive your first month for free at keeps.com/mad. KEEPS.com/mad. Go to their website, check out real before and after photos, find out why Keeps speaks for itself. Thanks, Keeps, for sponsoring this episode and always supporting Mad About Movies. Guys, check it out. Keeps.com/mad. Keep your hair with Keeps. And the last thing I wanted to touch on, guys, was we have an official, I guess, release date for Seth Rogen's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie. Yes, I'm very excited about this. I had to mention it on the pod.
Yeah. We've tried to reboot the Turtles like 43 times, I think. I'm not sure it's ever been successful, so. We'll see. But if it's going to work, this is the one that works, right? Like, that's a good idea. I think Rogan's very invested in it. That should work. Like, it should work at least from have a fun time at the movies, you know? So we'll see. My buddy Matt, who's the biggest Ninja Turtles fan I've ever met, he's got a He's got an entire room dedicated to the Ninja Turtles, and somehow he's married and has a kid. I don't know. It's weird, but
I was going
to
say, does he ever stop getting chicks, or how do you fight him off?
I know. It's he found one, so that's good. But
the script is by the Neighbors writer, though, which makes me nervous.
Yeah, that makes me a little nervous. Neighbors has a fun, like, you can see. I bet that's a decent script. I think it just got off the rails with some of the stuff that they did. I bet the script's okay. We'll see.
Director is Jeff Rowe, who co-directed Mitchell's Machines.
He also wrote The House and Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates. Okay. Brian, so.
I kind of liked Mike and Dave's Need Wedding Dates. Oh, I laughed at that. Cool. I don't know. I've seen it once, so, you know, maybe it's terrible. I was in the right mood, but it was funny.
It happens. Yeah, it happens to all of us.
Anyway, my buddy Matt's very excited about this, and Rogan seems passionate about it. I think that's part of it. I mean, passion projects obviously can go wrong pretty easily, but I think this needed somebody who really cares about this property and is going to try to do something cool with it. So
yeah,
we'll see how it works. I mean, there's nothing that you're going to do in a Ninja Turtles movie that's going to make me personally like furious or anything like that. You know, so it's fine. It's not for me. It's not Star Wars or something like that. But we do have a pretty decent track record of Ninja Turtles properties not being very good at this point. So, you know, just keep that in mind with your expectations is all I'm saying to you, Matt. Just, you know, stay calm, buddy.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I really enjoy the characters, but I don't get offended when it's like messed up or anything. Like I don't get actively angry or not. Swear I'm not going to watch anymore, you know? Right, I just think that's a fun four characters that you can do some...
And hate tweets to anybody involved.
I did, right? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. What's his name?
You're not a fan if you're not doing that.
William Fichtner is on my on my hit list for sure. Yeah. Well, I'm very excited for somebody, you're right, Brian, who grew up on TMNT, who knows it, who understands kind of the culture around it. And has a comedic voice in this generation, and I think can really echo that with a movie like this. So it's August 11th, 2023 will be the new TMNT. I believe it'll be live action. I haven't seen confirmation of that.
No, it's CGI.
Is it animated? Yeah. Okay. I'm actually, yeah, that's fine with me. I think they can, maybe they can do a Spider-Verse style animation with it and get great with it. I still think the best TMNT thing that's ever come out is the 2012 Nickelodeon computer animated series. I thought that was great writing, action, all that kind of stuff. So if they could do that with Seth Rogen at the helm, I think it would be something worth maybe will make people not look at TMNT movies at just like and roll their eyes, you know? Because I feel like every time one is announced or comes out, and it's just like, ugh, why again, you know? But I think it deserves to be fun and. And I think has a chance with Rogan attached to it. So that excites me. And we have it confirmed August 11th, 2023. So still quite a ways away from that, but it's official. So yeah. There you go. No more jacked Michael Bay turtles, I guess, Brian, sadly. Yes,
man. Yeah. Yeah. I hope what they can do with this is either make it appealing to the adult audiences, and I don't mean make like an R-rated Ninja Turtles, but like
you mean
I think
X-rated.
One of the major, I mean, I would watch that. Obviously.
Bring Megan Fox back for that.
NC-17, preferably. But no, like I think one of the major faults of the Michael Bay stuff, if I remember correctly, because it's been a long time, was that it kind of felt like they were. This is very typical of Michael Bay, trying to sort of thread the needle and play to both sides, like make this kids movie. Just inappropriate enough to where kids can't see it, but too stupid for adults to be able to go in and not just roll their eyes at the whole time, you know? So let's maybe pick one. We don't, this whole thing of trying to play to both parties, I don't think really works with this property. So let's have some fun with it one way or the other, but make it to where somebody can be happy. Not we're trying to make everybody happy, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I'm with you there. High hopes for that. High hopes for all these announcements that we talked about today. Good times. And I think kind of to round this out, fellas, it goes back to what we talked about on the Cruella episode where this is just kind of the norm now. You know, the streaming wars are real and the theater experience is going to be more of a rarity nowadays and be more of a special occasion type thing. And, you know, in 2 years, we'll probably be talking about even more of who owns what and who's leading this thing. You know, 2 years ago, mm-hmm. Disney Plus didn't even exist, and here they are in third place, basically in the streaming war. So
yeah,
it's anybody's ballgame still.
We're in an awkward place now where I don't think it's a good thing for Disney to own everything, you know, or Amazon to own everything or whatever. But also as a consumer, I mean, we're about as streaming serviced out as we can get. And as soon as I say that, I know there'll be three more that are launched tomorrow, but like we need some consolidation before too long. Cause it's just, we really are getting to the point now where everything is, I mean, we said this last time we talked about streaming, or at least I think I did. It's we're beyond the place now where maybe a year, 2 years, 3 years ago, whatever, if you said, hey, have you seen this thing? You could reasonably expect that people that you're talking to would have heard of that and or had seen it, you know? And if they hadn't seen it, on your recommendation, they might be like, cool, I'll go and sign up for Netflix for a month and see if I can, you know, watch that show. We're kind of at the place now where if you say, hey, have you seen this show? The response is more often than not, I don't even know what that is. And then you're like, oh, cool. Well, it's on Paramount Plus. And they're like, you know what? I don't have Paramount Plus and I'm not going to get it because I have 40 other streaming services. So I'm just not going to see that, you know, and it gets old real fast. So I hope that as much as I don't want, you know,
so how about Apple just buy all so these services and it's just under Apple TV and we can see everything. Yeah.
I mean, competition is a good thing. Competition is a really good thing for this kind of stuff. But also, boy, it stinks that, I mean, I don't have Paramount Plus is the only, is that what it's called? Or is it Paramount?
It's Paramount Plus. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Sorry. I had like a moment where I was like, wait, which ones are Plus and which ones are something?
It was called CBS All Access.
Yeah. I had it for like a month when it was CBS All Access, but like, that's the only one I don't have right now of the major streaming services. And there's a couple things I'm like, man, that looks cool. I'd like to watch that. But I literally spend more on streaming services than I did on cable back when we had cable or satellite or you know, whatever else. And there's a limit to it. So it's like, I do think eventually, we've always said this, so I know you're on the same page. But eventually, some of this gets consolidated and you can get a bundle of all these things and it will just go back to being like cable, but in a slightly different format. But right now, man, it's kind of rough on that front. It's just like, gosh, I can't keep up. And this is what we do for a semi-living, you know, is keep up with this kind of stuff. It's just, it's pretty wild. So we'll see where we get moving forward. But yeah, I still don't think we're at the point where it's going to stop and we're going to start coming around to fewer services, right? Like we're going to keep having more and more, I think, for a little bit longer.
Right. Yeah. These studios are like, hey, this is my content. I'm not going to license it to Netflix anymore. I'm going to make money off it. Yeah. And so that's what NBC did. Sure. That's what Paramount did and HBO and all them. And, you know, that was what was so great about Netflix at the beginning, because they were the new ones.
Yes.
And they would just pay these studios and say, hey, y'all aren't doing anything with this digital stuff. Pay us X and we'll pay you X and everybody wins. And there's a book called The Big Picture that talks a lot about that. And just how those negotiations went right at the beginning and how all the studios were just so stoked because they're just making money with having to do literally no work, you know? And then they realized how much money they could be making if they just put in the work. And, and now that's where we are, is all these studios are pulling back or selling themselves to the highest bidder. And I find it fascinating, man. I found this stuff just as fascinating as whether this movie's going to be good or not, is the whole machine behind everything. Mm-hmm, and that's why I love getting on here every month or so and talking and updating the listener.
You and I are in an interesting position, though, compared to some other people, in that between the two of us, we have substantial movie and TV libraries of DVDs and Blu-ray and whatnot that we've owned, that we've now digitized and all this kind of stuff. So the original content is really the only place where we're kind of up against it in terms of, you know, we got to subscribe or whatever you got to do to be able to watch the original movies, the original TV shows and stuff. There's a lot of folks that a lot of our listeners will ask, like, hey, when we do a throwback, a lot of our listeners, our VIPs will say, hey, where is this streaming? And I'm like, dude, honestly, I don't even know, because I have it on my Plex server, you know, from a Blu-ray that I used to own, that kind of thing. And So we have it a little bit better than a lot of people do, but the original stuff still is just is so tough. And you, and you're totally right. That's where all these studios and production companies, that's where they, what they figured out is that's where the money's at. The money's in your original programming that you can control from start to finish and whatnot. So
yeah, NBC figured out, it's like, man, we could base an entire streaming service off The Office, basically, which is what they did. They launched Peacock with that, and it brought them like 50 million people just to have that and some other things on top of that. You know, I think that's super smart. But come on, Apple, I believe in you. I don't want this to be another ping or whatever, you know, something that they tried and just fails, you know, because it just didn't catch on and they stop caring, you know. They don't like to half-ass stuff, so
yeah.
I still think they have it. They have such a good opportunity with a billion devices and just such easy access and unlimited cash. It just you're right, and like it's not their main business, but like with very little effort, they could have a significant. it could be a significant revenue stream for them with very little market hold effort.
I just think we're at the point though where we just have to say they're not interested in doing it.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. It's and like maybe, they're waving the white flag, like, all right, we're here, but we're not, we don't care. Yeah. You know,
and Richard is right too, and both of you guys are more tech and business savvy than I am. But Richard's right in that there probably is something big coming for them, and they're just, and maybe that is just, this is complete and total just off the top of my head speculation. I don't know any, I'm very stupid, I don't have anything, but like maybe they're waiting to acquire all of NBC's stuff at some point. Maybe there's just an announcement one day that says, cool, we bought Peacock and everything that comes with it. Here's what we're doing. We let them build it and now we're going to buy it rather than building it up ourselves and that kind of thing. And that, I mean, that might not be a terrible business strategy either. They may have a file, you know, a PowerPoint somewhere where some dude was like, hey, don't spend the money building this thing up. Let's just acquire it when it's all done. I mean, again, total speculation on my part, but it does not seem that they are interested in building a streaming service of great note as much as they are in using streaming to just like sort of be a cool bonus you get when you're an Apple customer, you know?
Yeah. Gosh, Amazon's market share on just so many things Apple should be doing well, like the Alexa and home security, smart home, and you know, the streaming service and all that. It's just amazing that Amazon, a freaking book company or whatever, has been able to do that and do it so successfully and gain such a huge, huge market share in that. I bet that just pisses Apple off so much. Like,
yeah,
who are these guys, you know? And it's almost impossible for them to get in like the Alexa game. Like Siri is a disaster. It is, you know, comparatively. It's amazing. All right, that does it for our streaming wars, movie news, rumors, rumblings roundup for this month. We'll be back in a few weeks with more news updates as they come in, and we'll round them up and bring them to you. But on the VIP this week, we've got Hook talk. So if you saw the movie Hook in the 90s, Steven Spielberg movie, and you want to hear us talk about that, our memories of that, become a VIP, madaboutmoviespodcast.com/VIP. Also, Brian and I are going to record a little episode talking about what movies are still coming out this year, because I know a lot of stuff's been delayed. We don't know what's coming out when, where. So we'll go over all that. That'll drop next week on the main feed. So look out for that as well. Thanks for listening. We hope you've learned something, enjoyed it, and we'll talk to you soon at the cinema.